On today's show, Alperen Şengün with another fantastic game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Rockets continue to trust him when he is on the floor, running more and more of their offense through him. But heading to the bench with foul trouble, the Houston Rockets offense came to a screeching halt in the second quarter without Alperen Şengün on the floor. The ball sticking a lot and some inefficient nights from Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the good and the bad in the Rockets offense against the Timberwolves, how the ball was moving in the first quarter, how it stopped moving in the second quarter. We'll talk about Tari Eason, KJ Martin, their nights, as well as Dacian Nix, you know, doing a pretty good job facilitating the basketball. All of that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
You get somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, a credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as Rockets Watch. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. We're going to talk a little bit about Alperen Şengün's continued brilliance when he's on the floor. Keyword, when he's on the floor. The foul trouble was an issue against the Timberwolves. Rockets offense looked really good in the first quarter, minus the turnovers. And then it just came to a screeching halt in the second quarter against the T-Wolves, when Alperen Şengün went to the bench and when Jalen Green and Kevin Porter checked back in. This was a bad game from Jalen Green and KPJ. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the ball movement, the turnovers. It's one of the issues as to why the Rockets are struggling to break down defenses in the half court, why the offense looked so bad there in the second quarter. But let's start with Alperen Şengün here, because he is your Locked On Rockets player of the game. And had a fantastic night, although his minutes were all like, it was a really weird night for LP minutes wise, right? Because he only played 20 minutes. He had 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, only a couple turnovers, 8 of 9 shooting from the floor. Had Karl-Anthony Towns like in a blender, just, you know, spinning on him left, right, little, at one point hit a fadeaway over the top, just doing all sorts of things to, you know, make Karl-Anthony Towns' life hell on that side of the floor. Really, you know, again, like I said, putting him in the blender and getting whatever he wanted down low whenever he did get the opportunities to touch the basketball. And his role this game felt weird, right? Because the Rockets are doing a much better job of getting him the ball and letting him go to work. But he still has to do a better job as well of, A, not picking up ticky-tack fouls. I liked what Steven Silas was doing with the substitution pattern this game, because it felt like Silas was very intentional about subbing LP out kind of early. He came out around the 6-minute mark of the first quarter, and things looked good in that first quarter. Ball was skipping. Ball was moving. The Rockets had 11 made shots. They had 9 assists on 11 made shots in that first quarter. The ball was moving really well. Guys were moving without the basketball. It was, you know, they were swinging around the perimeter. They were generating open looks. It was probably the best ball movement we've seen all season long from the Rockets. Now, they did have some moments where they turned the ball over in that first quarter. They had seven turnovers in the first quarter for 14 Timberwolves first quarter points. But I mean, it felt like that first quarter, everything was either ending in a made bucket or a turnover. And, you know, the turnovers were kind of not backbreaking, but they were kind of, it was kind of hard at times. I mean, the T-Wolves into the quarter plus 6, there's a 40-34 first quarter stretch. But back to Alperen Şengün, the Rockets were running a lot of their stuff through LP, and it looked, pardon me, looked really solid. And then he subbed out kind of early, Usman Garuba comes in, the ball keeps moving, and it didn't suddenly change when Alpi hit the bench. Like, the ball kept moving, they kept finding open shooters. The Rockets offense just looked like it was flowing the best it had been flowing all season long in the first quarter against the T-Wolves. But then second quarter comes along, and Alperen Şengün is back in the game, top of the second quarter, and he picks up, a quick third foul, not too far into the second quarter, and basically has to sit the rest of the half. And that's where things completely started to fall apart for the Rockets. They made a handful of shots. It was they made three shots, I believe, in the top of the second quarter. And things were, slowing down a little bit. The T-Wolves were defending things a little bit different in the pick and roll. And we'll talk about that a little bit in segment two as to, why the ball started sticking there in the second quarter. But a big part of the issue was Alpi picking up that third foul and being forced back to the bench, and then the Rockets not being able to have him on the floor to continue doing what they were doing in the first quarter, which is really using Alpi as kind of not necessarily a decoy, but just using him to open things up, open things up with the T-Wolves defense, right? Alpi was setting really, really good screens early in the game. He was allowing the ball handlers kind of get going downhill. And then even when they weren't going downhill, they were doing a good job of finding him in the middle of the floor. And then he was doing a good job making the subsequent secondary read to kick it out to an open shooter or swing the ball to the other side of the floor or whatever. And that's why the Rockets offense looked as good as it did in that first quarter. Again, the ball was moving, guys were cutting. The Rockets were generating some of the best offense that they have generated all season long in that first quarter. And it just disappeared. It completely disappeared when they got to kind of the second half of that second quarter. And I do want to talk about the frustrations from that quarter, but I just want to make sure that with Alperen Şengün, his night, I had these stats pulled up because I was curious to see, he finished with 5 assists, but I was curious to see how many actual potential assists he had in that game as well. Alpi had 9 potential assists against the T-Wolves. So not only did he finish with 5 actual assists, on top of that, he could have had 9 more assists, 9 potential assists in a given game. That is really, really solid for a big man. And that just shows that the offense and the opportunities that he is generating when he is on the floor are legitimate. They are real opportunities. So I did really like what we saw out of Alperen Şengün. It really felt like, especially in the third quarter, the Rockets basically played a really strong first quarter, minus the turnovers, and then they had solid enough third and fourth quarters to win the game. It was just their second quarter was so, so bad that they dug themselves into a hole, and then they basically just kept the scoreboard moving the rest of the game with the T-Wolves. There wasn't a whole ton of defense being played on either side. No Rudy Gobert for the T-Wolves. They looked a lot better offensively without Rudy Gobert crowding things out on the floor. But then defensively, they were allowing a lot of easy buckets. I mean, the Rockets were kind of getting whatever they wanted through, 3 quarters of this game, and then they could not get anything going in the second quarter because, again, the ball handlers weren't doing their jobs. The right passes weren't being made. I want to talk about the second quarter struggles here in just a second. But again, Alperen Şengün continues to showcase his skill set. And I thought this was really interesting. Via B-Ball Index, there's a scatter plot that shows the rim shot making ability and rim shot creation of players across the entire NBA. And I didn't have a chance to whip this up into a graphic for our YouTube viewers. But at the top of this list, at the top of this metric with these stats, Alperen Şengün has some really, really impressive company at the top of this board. So it's Luka Doncic, very clear-cut ahead of the pack for rim shot making and rim shot creation. And then you have Ja Morant is right there next to Luka Doncic. And then right behind Ja Morant, you have a cluster of 3 names, and it's Alperen Şengün, Anthony Edwards, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So for LP to kind of be in that top 5 of that statistical category of being able to generate good looks at the rim and actually convert on those looks at the rim, that is elite company for Alperen Şengün. So his play continues to prove that when he is given adequate minutes, adequate reps, he's able to produce on the court. And again, the minutes in this game were a little weird for Al P because he had the foul issue, so he had to sit the entire, you know, the rest of the second quarter. He played his normal amount of minutes there in the third quarter, but Steven Silas was still kind of doing the early substitution pattern thing with him. And then the fourth quarter, the game was kind of, you know, not quite lost at that point, but it felt like Steven Silas was just riding with the bench guys for a little bit longer than he would have normally gone in a regular game. And so Al P finished with just 20 minutes, but it wasn't like he was being, you know, it wasn't like he was in the doghouse or not getting minutes because he wasn't playing well. It was just like a weird substitution pattern kind of thing in this game where I liked what Silas was going for originally, because it felt like what the intention was to get Al P away from Jalen Green and KPJ at the top of the second quarter and go back to running the offense through him quite a bit. And we kind of saw that at the top of the second, but then that third foul got picked up. Al P had to head to the bench and they basically played the final, you know, 7.5, 8.5 minutes of the second quarter with no Alperen Şengün on the floor. So Garuba wound up clocking in a lot more minutes than was probably originally planned for this game. He wound up having 25 minutes off the bench in this one. We'll talk about Garuba's production a little bit later on. But coming up, do you want to talk about the second quarter issues, the turnovers, the lack of ball movement, all of that, and it's stemming from, unfortunately, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, the Rockets' primary ball handlers. We're going to talk about that after a quick message from our friends over at Prize Picks. Next game, how about Jalen Green to score more than 23.5 points? How about Alperen Şengün to snag more than 8.5 rebounds? Why don't we say KPJ, I mean, he's kind of been struggling with facilitating the ball less. Well, we'll say KPJ under on 7.5 assists, and then Jabari Smith Jr., hopefully probable to make his return to the lineup. We'll say more than 2.5 threes for Jabari Smith Jr. against fellow top draft pick Paolo Banchero. So what is Prize Picks? How does it work? You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Pick projections, you can win up to 10 times back on your money on any entry that you submit. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. That's NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, you name it. They've got you covered over at Prize Picks. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that simple. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up today to play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, as good of a first quarter as the Houston Rockets played in this game, their second quarter was absolutely abysmal. So in that second quarter, the stretch that really killed the Rockets was the moment that Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. checked back into the game at the 7:38 mark of the second quarter. From the 7:38 mark of the second quarter all the way to halftime, the Rockets managed to only score 9 points. They made only one shot. They were 1 of 10 shooting from the floor. KPJ with the only shot made, but he was 1 of 6 shooting from the floor. A whopping 16.7%. They got to the free throw line a handful of times. Both Garuba got there. Jalen got there. KPJ got there. They were 6 of 8 total at the line, 75%. But in that stretch, they also had 7 turnovers. So the Rockets had 7 turnovers across the entirety of the first quarter, but they were moving the ball well. Again, 11 made shots, 9 assists, solid ball movement. You take that. You want to cut back on the turnovers, but that's kind of a side effect of moving the basketball as well as they were. Sometimes the passes weren't quite there, some miscommunication. You know, turnovers are going to happen as you're trying to iron out the wrinkles within an offense. But it was encouraging to see the Rockets moving the ball that well. In the second quarter, again, Alperen Şengün having to ride the bench because he had 3 early fouls. The Rockets offense basically did not adjust to how the T-Wolves decided to start guarding things. So basically what happened in the first quarter with Karl-Anthony Towns being involved in a lot of the pick and roll actions, Cat was just dropping incredibly low. Like Cat was like nowhere near any of the action, not anywhere near the level of the screen, all of that. And the Rockets were picking apart that defense. And because there was very little pressure on the ball handler, the Rockets were actually doing a really good job of, all right, screen happens, ball handler starts getting going downhill, you know, Defender is chasing the ball handler over the top of the screen. Karl-Anthony Towns is dropping super low. Cool. Hit the roll man with the pass, whether it's Alperen Şengün, whether it's Usman Garuba, it doesn't matter. Hit the roll man with the pass. Roll man either makes a play or kicks it out to the next person, whatever. The Rockets were doing a good job of that. They were even doing a good job, Eric Gordon, you know, a couple times, skipping the pass across the court to like the open corner or the open guy on the wing. And things look good. But then the T-Wolves adjusted their defense in the second quarter. And basically, through a combination of Naz Reid when he was out there in the second quarter, as well as Karl-Anthony Towns when he was out there, the T-Wolves did a different job of basically playing at the level of the screen. And so they had their big kind of jumping out at the ball handler, including Karl-Anthony Towns. It's still Cat, so it's not, you know, going to be perfect when he does it, which is why it was frustrating watching the Rockets not be able to do anything with this, because they were basically getting the screen. Two guys were jumping out at the ball handler, preventing the ball handler from getting going downhill. And then they weren't ever making the pass over the top of the defense to the wide open roll man. So that happened multiple times with Alperen Şengün. That happened very consistently with Usman Garuba. And from the moment that KPJ and Jalen Green checked back into the game, it felt like every single possession was, here's the screen. Okay, cool. Screen happens. All right, there's one guy wide open, the roll man, and there's even sometimes a second guy wide open because you're making the T-Wolves defense play that like X out defense where you've got a guy who's guarding two guys on the weak side at the 3-point line, and he's kind of having to, you know, read and react to whoever, you know, the ball gets kicked to on the perimeter. And the Rockets failed consistently to make those reads in the second quarter to get the ball to the open man. And that was the distinct difference between the first quarter offense and the second quarter offense, is in the first quarter, the T-Wolves defense was not great. And on top of that, the Rockets were taking advantage of the holes in the Timberwolves defense. In the second quarter, the T-Wolves adjusted their defense. They started defending the pick and roll differently. And the Rockets playmakers, their primary ball handlers, KPJ, Jalen Green, even Eric Gordon, none of them were making the right reads over the top of the defense to get the ball to the open man. And again, 9 times out of 10, that was the roll man, which in this case was Usman Garuba pretty often. And there were even times where there was somebody wide open on the wing, right? Eric Gordon or a KJ Martin or a Tari Eason, whatever. Guys that were open on the wings that weren't receiving these passes. So it was a really, really tough third quarter to watch. Jalen Green had 3 turnovers. KPJ had a turnover, but he also had the 1-for-6 shooting. Jalen Green went 0-for-3. It was a really tough stretch of basketball to see, given how well the Rockets had played in the first quarter, and then to see it suddenly come to a screeching halt there in the second quarter. And it's frustrating because the Rockets primary ball handlers, right? That KPJ, Jalen Green, they should be better at these types of reads, right? They shouldn't be over dribbling the basketball when just slightly pressured by a Timberwolves defense that's not even a good defense without Rudy Gobert out there. That should be a very simple read to make, where, all right, there's two guys in my face. How do I get the pass over the top of these two guys to the open man, right? That needs to be something that they practice and that they drill repeatedly in practice, because otherwise, then you're not generating an advantage. Because so many of those possessions basically happened where it was, all right, two guys defending at the level of the screen. Cool. They stopped the downhill action. Now it's back to, all right, KPJ still got the ball, or Jalen still got the ball. Isolate and try to make something happen. Let's force a shot. And that's why KPJ was 1-of-6. They got to the free throw line a handful of times, but it was probably some of the worst offense that we've seen the Rockets play this season, which again, the differences are so stark between those first and second quarter stretches. And then on top of that, the 7 turnovers. They didn't have any turnovers in the first few minutes of the quarter. The first four and a half minutes or so of the quarter, no turnovers. And then 7 turnovers in the final, right? I want to make sure I get that actually right. Let me double check this range filter reset, because I want to make sure that I actually have that number right. They might have had a couple more turnovers. Second quarter, come on. It's not working here. Let's refresh. Anyways, but they did for sure, because I had the range filter selected on the right set. They did absolutely for sure have 7 turnovers across the final 7.5 minutes. And I was correct. So yeah, no turnovers at the top of the second quarter. I don't have an answer at this point, other than Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. have been really disappointing throughout large portions of the season in how they operate out of the pick and roll. There have been some moments, and maybe, right, maybe Bruno Fernando is what they really need, right? Maybe Bruno Fernando coming back is the piece that they need. They need a larger rim running presence, somebody who can play over the top of the defense. and who they can really get going downhill with. But even then, we've seen them, you know, when defenses really pressure the ball when they're out on the perimeter, they don't make those reads over the top. And or they don't make them consistently enough to make defenses pay. And that's where the Rockets offense really fell apart there in the second quarter. Now, I don't want to focus on all the negative because there were some other positives from this game. Again, talked about the ball movement in the first quarter at the top of the show. The second quarter was largely the reason that the Rockets lost this game, going down by as many as 19 points, I believe it was, if my quick math is correct here. Yeah, 19 points at halftime, a 28-15 second quarter in favor of the T-Wolves. And then again, the Rockets just kind of keeping the scoreboard moving the rest of the game, which just was not good enough. They weren't able to get the necessary stops to try and get themselves back into this game. I do want to talk about KJ Martin, who had a really, really solid night. Usman Garuba off the bench, Tari Eason off the bench, even Dacian Nix a little bit off the bench had a solid night. We're going to talk about those guys coming up here in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, as far as I will say the Rockets defense in this game was not fantastic. The Wolves, you know, they have a five out offense. They're able to really stretch out the defense. There were moments where we very clearly saw Alperen Şengün getting taken advantage of defensively. There was a moment that I really enjoyed where I believe it was sometime in the third quarter where Alpi got beat. Or wasn't in the right spot on a rotation or something like that. And Tari Eason, the basket mic. There we go. That's the words I was thinking of. The basket mic picked up Tari Eason, telling Alpi, he's like, Alpi, you got to move. And I love that Tari, even though he's a rookie out there, right, kind of communicating with his, you know, the other guys on the court and basically telling Alpi, like, hey, man, you got to move, right? Like, you're not in the right spot, or, you know, kind of just communicating wherever the breakdown happened there defensively. Because there are some issues with Alpi defending, especially at the five, and we saw that kind of with Naz Reid out there. There were some moments where Naz Reid was stretched out to the perimeter, was able to hit some threes. There were also some moments where he was able to drive the basketball in off, you know, just, you know, a catch and drive attempt from the 3-point line, and Alpi was caught in no man's land trying to like close out on Naz Reid, and then he would drive it in and finish over the top, and there was nobody rotating over to help Alperen Şengün. So the Rockets defense has a long, long way to go, unfortunately. But right now, I'm just kind of, I would like, for them being a young team, I would like for them to be able to kind of iron out some of the really simple fixes offensively. And then we can circle back to figuring out what's going on the defensive side of things. Because defensively, I don't know, they were good enough this game. If they hadn't had such a subpar second quarter, they were good enough to win this game. Mainly because the T-Wolves also weren't playing any lick of defense whatsoever. But for the Rockets, KJ Martin had a really, really strong game in this one. 17 points, 3 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, 6 of 8 shooting, was 3 of 5 from long distance, was the benefactor of a number of passes from Alperen Şengün in this game. Some really great little touch passes in and around the paint, some kickout passes to the 3-point line. Just a really strong all-around game for KJ Martin. He continues to be a really, really significant bright spot for the Rockets this season, with a lot of just, frankly, you know, bad play so far from Jabari Smith Jr., some really up and down play from Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. KJ Martin's been consistent. When given minutes, KJ Martin has looked fantastic. He fills his role, stays in his lane, does what he does and does it well. So I've been super impressed with KJ Martin so far this season. Elsewhere for the Rockets, the bench unit actually continuing to kind of find their groove, make a stamp on this game. 17 points off the bench for Tari Eason on 6 of 8 shooting. He was 2 of 2 from the 3-point line, which is that's a fantastic sight to see. We know that Tari Eason can hit those threes. It's not necessarily a specialty of his, but when that three ball is falling and he's able to do all the other things he could do on the floor, rebound at a high level, play good defense, hustle, all that stuff, 6 boards, 2 assists, had a steal, all those things that Tari Eason can kind of provide for you. The three ball is kind of the cherry on top of all of that. So a really nice night off the bench for Tari Eason. And then even Usman Garuba, who had for stretches of this game, look, Karl-Anthony Towns finished with 25 points, 9 boards, 6 assists on 9 of 14 shooting. Cat's one of the top 3 centers in the league, depending on who you ask. You know, and arguably, you know, he's a absolute, like, just demon to try and match up with defensively because he is a mismatch nightmare. He's a scoring machine. He can, you know, get it done on any given night. But Garuba was making life hell for Cat. In this game, like, you know, they forced some turnovers out of Karl Anthony Towns in this one, and the stretches where Garuba was in the game and where he was getting a chance to be matched up with Karl Anthony Towns, it felt like he did a pretty solid job on him, right? Being really physical with him, really competing on the rebounds. You know, Cat is a legit 7-footer and Garuba is 6'8", and he was battling with him consistently, doing a good job boxing him out, making life difficult for him. Garuba finished with just 7 points, 3 boards. He had an assist. He had a couple steals. Not a fantastic stat line from Usman Garuba, but if you go back and watch the game, like, he really did a lot of the kind of dirty work stuff of just making Cat work for some of his shots. Because at the end of the day, especially with star-type players like a Karl Anthony Towns, like an Anthony Edwards, whatever, those guys are going to get their buckets. Those guys are going to have strong nights. Those guys are going to be able to just, you know, at the end of the day, good offense beats good defense, right? All you can do is try to make those guys work for their shots, right? You don't want them to get theirs and get them easily, or you don't want them to be able to, you know, set up other guys on the team easily and suddenly the entire team is rolling and rocking because the star players are generating easy looks. You want to at least make life difficult for them. They're going to get theirs, but you make it hard. And Usman Garuba did a good job making it difficult for Karl Anthony Towns to get his in this game when he was on the floor. Last guy here that was actually kind of a pleasant surprise was Dacian Nix off the Rockets bench. Now, Dacian was 0-4, right? He didn't hit a single shot. One of the threes that he put up was like super ugly. Missed a couple threes, missed all four of his shots from the floor. He did, however, have 6 assists. So he was the leading assist man for the Rockets. It was Dacian Nix, then it was Alper and Şengün. 6 assists for Dacian, 5 assists for Alpi. He had 3 steals in this game, and it felt like he had multiple possessions defensively where he actually made some strong defensive plays in this one. So even though Dacian, you know, wasn't making shots, wasn't converting looks at a high level, it did feel like in some of the minutes where he was on the floor, the Rockets were able to kind of continue moving the basketball well. Again, it was a really good first quarter and then an acceptable like third and fourth quarters offensively. It was just such a bad second quarter. The Rockets were never able to dig themselves back out of that funk, unfortunately. Especially with Jalen Green and KPJ having such off nights offensively. KPJ just 3 of 12 shooting from the floor. Jalen Green just 6 of 16. Both of those guys, really, really bad offensive nights, combining for a total of 8 turnovers. A majority of those turnovers all coming in the second quarter, which was, you know, a gigantic concern. And then, you know, they really weren't ever able to make it a game after going down by 20 at half, 19 points, whatever it was. You know, they would creep back close. They'd cut it down to, you know, 12, 13, whatever, cut it down to 10. And then T-Wolves would have an answer because the Rockets were, you know, getting broken down defensively. So it's kind of to be expected. I'm not sitting here saying that I was expecting a win, but there were some positive signs. Hopefully the Rockets can keep that semblance of ball movement going that they had across the first, third, and fourth quarters and get back to that level of, you know, creation. Because as a team, the Rockets had 40 made shots and they had 27 assists on the 40 made shots. So that is a positive development and an encouraging sign moving forward. You just need to be able to be a bit better defensively, and then you need to not have a moment where your offense stalls out so heinously in addition to the turnovers, right? If it was one or the other, if the Rockets offense had just stalled out and they weren't making shots, but they were still taking care of the basketball, or vice versa, had the offense not stalled out, but they were still turning the ball over, like just one or the other of those things. And that second quarter probably isn't nearly as ugly as it was. And it's probably more so like the first quarter where they're kind of on pace with the T-Wolves. And maybe they only go down, you know, 10 points at halftime instead of 19. And then they're kind of in the game down the final stretch rather than playing from behind the entirety of the game. So those are the thoughts from the T-Wolves game. Looking forward to the next matchup against the Orlando Magic. This is a big game with Jabari Smith Jr. Probable to play against Paolo Banchero's Orlando Magic. Should be a ton of fun watching the number 1 overall pick and the number 3 overall pick go head to head. Really want to see a good defensive performance out of Jabari Smith Jr. That's mainly what I'm looking for out of this next game. I could care less if Jabari puts up points. I want to see how he guards Paolo Banchero. If he gets worked by Paolo Banchero, then it's going to be concerning. But if he's able to go out there and actually shut down Banchero on some possessions, then I could care less what his offensive stat line looks like. I want to see him put up some really solid defensive numbers, and I want to see him make Paolo Banchero's life hell on that side of the floor. So that's what I'm going to be looking for in the Rockets Magic game. But for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.